By the way, thank you, Shannon, for the text line. So if you're listening, Kane in there, traffic moving through the tunnel. The cars have moved so that westbound at the Wallace Tunnel is moving now. What was a standstill earlier is moving. Get you more updates with Kane and the traffic department coming up this hour on Mobile Mornings on this Monday, plus some rain for sure, some wind, thunderstorms, hopefully nothing tornadic. Dr. Bill doesn't feel like this part or today as the storm affects us will be like it was in Dallas yesterday with that tornado, but he does expect that rain sometime this afternoon into the evening hours. We'll get more from him coming up at around 8:35. Also on the way this hour, so no G7 summit at the Trump Doral down in South Florida. Also, Mick Mulvaney does his rounds on the Sunday shows. We'll talk about that. But before we go any further, and we talk about some Mobile City Council and some state news, this is kind of state news. You heard the story. This is just something that I just read in the last 10 minutes. You heard the national news talking about the big fentanyl bust, which is a way of transitioning into a discussion of opioids. And I just retweeted over at FM Talk 106.5 on Twitter, at FM Talk 106.5. Story from NPR, okay? So National Public Radio that we get to compete against, even though they get taxpayer funding. But they put out a story here that I think is pretty interesting. The story is it says the partisan divide grows over the opioid settlement plan. Okay, so we're talking about there's a bunch of different players, but the biggest one, the Sackler family, right? Purdue Pharma, the makers of OxyContin. And it goes through a story, and it kind of goes through attorneys general, state by state, and their responses to what they're going to do statewide. From state to state, what their lawsuits will look like, whether they'll take the settlement from Purdue Pharma or not. And it goes down, it's an interesting read. And then you get down to about halfway through the story, and it goes into Republican AGs face pressure. You go a little further down, and the name that is its own paragraph, its own section of the story, is the one-time Attorney General of the state of Alabama and failed Senate candidate, Luther Strange. Let me read this about the former AG of the state. Okay, it says, NPR found that much of the political pressure faced by Republican AGs who pursued opioid litigation has come from one highly influential conservative, Luther Strange. He's a former U.S. senator from Alabama who served as the state's Republican attorney general. He also led the Republican Attorneys General Association until 2017. Strange didn't respond to NPR's repeated requests for an interview, but over the last year, he emerged as a prominent critic of opioid lawsuits. He objects to state attorneys general hiring outside law firms to help sue Big Pharma. He also argues that AGs who use so-called public nuisance claims to hold companies accountable set a dangerous legal precedent, expanding liability for companies accused of harming the public. Strange said at a gathering of the Federalist Society in June, I've written on this recently because it is a blooming problem and an issue around the country. Strange predicted the public nuisance legal argument is now being used against opioid defendants like Purdue Pharma. It will be, quote, used against almost any other broad social issue, end quote. NPR learned that while Luther Strange was championing conservative arguments against opioid lawsuits, he also was working behind the scenes as a paid attorney for members of the Sackler family. So he was challenging this on a conservative angle. A lot of people might listen to his arguments there. But did they know, at least the majority of them, that it says here in this story, Luther Strange was a paid attorney for members of the Sackler family. According to a source with detailed knowledge of the matter, Strange represented his clients at a gathering of the Republican Attorneys General Association in West Virginia over the summer, where he worked to convince Attorney General to accept Purdue Pharma's bankruptcy plan. We've talked about that plan in the past. Sources contacted by NPR say factors other than politics clearly shaped how individual state AGs reacted to the deal. Some states embracing the settlement plan are desperate for cash and want a quick settlement. Others have laws that make it hard for them to pursue the Sacklers individually in court. A few Republican attorneys general, meanwhile, have rejected the proposal, one of them being James Buffetti, an associate attorney general in New Hampshire, who says the settlement deal was grossly inadequate to address the harm they caused, so we just said no. But the partisan divide over the Perdue-Sackler settlement is now a major sticking point. To get a plan finalized and approved by the bankruptcy court in New York, Purdue Pharma will likely need more Democratic states on board. So, I mean, it's a bigger story, obviously, about the attorneys general in the 50 states, and will they take this? Remember, we mentioned the billions of dollars in the settlement, but this settlement addresses states, some municipalities, some kind of strangely individual groups out there in this settlement from the makers of OxyContin. And so it's a story worth reading, but the fact that there's a whole section in the story addressing one-time senator, and then Ben, who lost to Roy Moore, and one-time attorney general of the state, Luther Strange, at the same time he's out talking about the dangers of using public nuisance claims to hold companies accountable, and you can argue that. I think there's a fair argument. What precedent does it set? I think Luther Strange makes at least an argument that should be discussed. But he had not disclosed that he was representing members of the Sackler family. Now, how is that okay? Now, once again, the fact that he's talking about this public nuisance thing, this is a big deal and where we go in the world of torts going forward. But don't you think if you're going to be lobbying, consulting, trying to change the opinion of attorneys general in other states to not pursue additional lawsuits against Purdue Pharma, you should disclose that you're the attorney for some of the members of the Sackler family? That just stood out to me, too. All right, we'll take your calls on that coming up at 343-0106, 343-0106. Plus, U.S. troops coming out of Syria. You've probably seen the pictures over the weekend or this morning, but they're not all coming home. They're redeploying elsewhere in the Middle East. So moving out of Syria, but moving to Iraq. So coming home, for some, maybe, but looks like many are going to Iraq. All right, 343-0106. Also on the way, give you more details on our big Go Play Outside contest. You got through the 21st of November to get your names in the registration boxes, and hopefully you'll be drawn for darn near $9,000 worth of goodies in this contest. And also, speaking of the 21st, so I'm going to give you a little heads up. The details are there. This is happening. We'll give you all the specifics coming up very soon. But FM Talk 106.5, working with the Mobile Republican Party, has organized a debate. We get to hear candidates debate. They get qualified for AL1 in the next 10 days. So we have the official list of people that will be on the Republican ticket in the primary. We've now organized the debate. Just need to get all parties on board. And November 21st, we will have this debate. We'll give you more details, the where, the who, the what, the where, the how, the how many people, the will there be snacks, all that kind of stuff forthcoming. But know that you're going to have a chance to listen to it on air and watch it in person, AL1 Congressional Republican Debate. That is coming up next month. All right, 8:16, we'll check the news, and then we're coming right back to you. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Monday. Dalton's out. He'll be back tomorrow. Probably has nothing to do with the fact that for 13 years in a row, Alabama beat Tennessee. Although, man, what kind of a chaotic game it was. Maybe I'm just that way because Tua was injured. I don't know. Did like the lights, though. The new LED lights and the way they can do all the light show stuff and synchronize. That was pretty cool. By the way, I put the story from NPR up on my Twitter feed about this opioid, the lawsuits, the settlement proposal from Purdue Pharma and the Sackler family. Put that story up, and you scroll. You ought to read the whole story. I think it's of note. But about halfway down is the paragraph, a couple paragraphs, about one-time attorney general, one-time senator of the state of Alabama, Luther Strange, Speaking of Twitter, too, by the way, my favorite moment of the day right now on my Twitter feed, Jeff, you win. I don't know if this is a current photograph. I don't know if it's a photoshopped thing, but Jeff has sent me a picture of Locksley PD having pulled over the Krispy Kreme truck. Jeff, I want the rest of that story. I need the rest of that story. All right, we'll go to the phones at 343-0106, and Jack is in Foley up first. Hey, Jack.
Hey, how you doing this morning, guys?
Doing good.
Sorry, I'm hoarse. Went to the game. It was an odd game.
But I'm glad you were there to pull the tide through. My 14-year-old daughter got to go, and the wife and I did not. I don't know what we're doing wrong in our house, but that's
how it works. You're doing it wrong somehow. I got two statements before I want to get to the point here. The first is, and I think that this hashtag will go nationwide, but it's free Krispy Kreme. Just start with that right now. The second, and I'm in no way advocating any type of violence. I want to tell you that up front. And it leads into my first point. What did Shakespeare say when it came to lawyers?
I'm not going to repeat it because the Alabama Bar Association will come after me.
Certainly, but we all know what they said.
Yes.
And for us to think this is a individual that was that ascended to the Senate by questionable means.
Yep.
And the idea that you're shocked that he may have had a conflict of interest in a large firm that he was working with, that he didn't come out and be very forthright with. Come on now, you're fooling yourself.
You think I'm playing up my naivete on this? I mean, to say I was completely surprised, no, but the fact that I'm going to... But I don't... Doesn't mean I have to accept it without... It ticks me off.
And I'll finish my call with a final quote.
Okay.
The great Yogi Berra once said, I'm shocked and amazed, but not really surprised.
Thanks, Jack. Great call. 343-0106. It's, you know, Jack, I mean, Jack's right. You look at the, now this is all, the former Governor Bentley stuff you could say is, it's not been proven. You know, Rob Holbert and I used to go round and round about this, Rob from Landyap, because he you know, said there's a closed door meeting with then Attorney General Luther Strange, whose department is investigating Governor Bentley, and he gets the nod to be the replacement senator for Sessions, remember? So that goes down, and Rob Holbert's pretty sure that you see exactly a quid pro quo, to bring up a cliche of late. But they went behind the closed doors. They had a meeting. Next thing, Luther Strange is in that position in the Senate. Then they fight like, you know, dogs to try to keep it with Washington money and the Senate Leadership Fund coming in, spending all that money. Still didn't work. Roy Moore winning in that primary. But Luther Strange there had a taint on him, right? Okay. Going for, and this Luther Strange has been on the show with me over the years. He was on, I mean, this is, but I'm just, what it looks like from the outside, you have that association with former Governor Bentley. When you're in charge of the AG's office at the time, there's an investigation going on with the governor. Then you go back into private practice. Remember, Luther Strange, too, was the architect of the BP deal with the state and BP and Anadarko and remember that deal. Okay, so you go now back into private practice, which is fine. People should be able to live their lives and make a living. And it is fine that he is lobbying AGs around the nation to take the deal from Purdue Pharma and not try to do a secondary lawsuit. That's fine. And actually, the public nuisance argument he makes is a fair one to discuss, because it's one of those things that if this fits the definition, then what other things could fit the definition of public nuisance, and you could go after it. It's one of the things that's been worried about for firearms manufacturers for a long time. So those things are all up front. But what was not up front, and it's pointed out, and Jack says, you know, I shouldn't be surprised, and you're right, Jack, but in this NPR story, the fact that former AG of the state, now private attorney, not only is lobbying AGs around the country to not do any additional lawsuits here and take the deal, He is a personal attorney of members of the Sackler family, and he has all the right to do that, but he better disclose that. It's disclosed now. But in the past, they said this meeting in West Virginia over the summer, where he was making these big constitutional arguments about taking the deal. I think you gotta know who's talking to you, what their motivations might be. All right, well, you can read more of that story. It's on our Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5. All right, another story here that has a lot of people talking this morning, of course, is the troops leaving Syria, but where are they going? Now, the president has talked about bringing the troops home, and I think that's something that people say it's living up to a campaign promise. I agree. That was one of the things that stood out to me in 2016. One of the things I think got a lot of people's attention was the... It's the same reason, if y'all remember the hissy fit I had when President Trump brought in John Bolton. I said, remember, I went on weeks saying, this is contrary to the what President Trump said when he was campaigning. So Bolton is out now, and Trump back to living up to what he said he was going to do during the campaign, bringing troops home. Now, I have my issues with how it's done there, but he is living up to a campaign promise. But the whole deal is, right, that the troops are coming home. Well, are they coming home? More on this story. Here's Nick Patton Walsh from Westwood One.
These U.S. troops, many of them don't want to leave, as far as I understand, feel their mission isn't finished here, but are ordered and follow those orders. Syrian Kurds, simply furious that they feel betrayal here, mostly by these troop leadership in Washington. We've been hearing from Secretary of Defense Mark Esper that this will take weeks, if not days. Well, it's clear that this is the largest movement here.
And the question is, where are they going?
Secretary Esper went on to suggest that there may be a force left around to protect the oil fields. That may be harking back to when President Trump said they had secured the oil. No one knew what he meant. Well, that might be part of it. We don't know numbers. We don't know durations. But this certainly seems to slightly take the edge off the idea of a total withdrawal.
All right. So the withdrawal, maybe a withdrawal for sure, moving from Syria, even though some troops left in Syria to secure the oil installations. Mm-hmm. You wonder why we fight wars there. But at the same time, the troops moved. Here's a quote here from Defense Secretary Mark Esper, said the those troops are currently withdrawing via helicopters, fixed-wing aircraft, and ground convoys. Those 1,000 troops will, quote, reposition into western Iraq to fight ISIS. So, not coming home, those 1,000, just repositioning into western Iraq. Get your calls on this when we come back at 343-0106. And a heads up, if you have not done it, if you heard me talking about it over time and said, yeah, I got to get around to doing that, Mondays are the day that people, like, you know, start something, get something, whether it be anything from a New Year's resolution to an exercise plan or maybe a plan to get rid of the junk. Yeah, so today is the day you call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Make that appointment with my buddy Trey and his crew working in Mobile and Baldwin counties, commercial properties, residential properties, stuff inside your house, junk inside your house, junk outside your house, junk in a storage unit. Wherever you got junk, you need it gone, go ahead and make that appointment today. Nice thing is, when you make that appointment, you'll have an agreed on day and time with the people at 1-800-GOT-JUNK, not some spectrum of time, an actual hour of the day and a specific day. That's when they show up. They quote you a price. If you say yeah, they get right to work and get it done quickly, efficiently. 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Check them out today, and we'll be right back. Right, 837 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. We'll check traffic with Kane in just a second. Right now, I want to check in with Mitch McConnell from McConnell Automotive and see what's shaking on a Monday. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Sean. You know, other than my voice shaking a little bit for being at a football game, I'm doing great, buddy.
Yeah, there was a lot of hollering to be had under those new LED lights on Saturday night. Let's talk about what's going on the lot. And, McConnell, are we going to talk some trucks with me? What you got?
Yeah, it's just about as exciting, buddy. I just, you know, people need to jump on this, Sean, which is 0% interest on that new truck you mentioned. And it's the one with everybody singing the na-na-na song about, you know, the tailgate. Nobody else has got this tailgate, six functions. But we got the AT4 version, the X31, which is the new Z71. I mean, it's the baddest truck on the road, and 0% interest or get over a $10,000 discount. And we've actually got the 0% interest on Yukons and Yukon Denali. And everything's on our website, Sean, man. Check it out, McConnellAutomotive.com. And if people go to that website, Sean, they'll see some deals. Everything we've got, we kind of marked it down to sell, buddy. It's going to be a great week to buy a car.
Sounds fantastic, Mitch. Thanks for checking in.
Y'all have a great Monday, Sean.
Will do. Mitch McConnell checking in from McConnell Automotive, just east of 65 on Dolphin Street. Now let's check the ride in. Here's Kane with traffic.
Good morning for the SpringHillToyota.com traffic center. A couple of accidents we've had, including the one just coming outside the George Wallace Tunnel, westbound lane, long I-10. It's in the median, shouldn't be affecting traffic. Looks a lot better now through the tunnel and heading towards the 1065 split. We do have another accident, eastbound I-10, this time between Rangeline and 65, and it's been backing up traffic almost to Highway 90, so be patient there. At Spring Hill Toyota at 3062 Government Boulevard in Mobile, they offer the all-new 2019 Toyota Camry with 0% financing available, model 2554. And I'm Kane with your FM Talk 106.5 traffic.
Right, 8:38 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. I hope I can get to the firefighting goat story. I mean, the headline's not exactly correct because the goats really aren't. I mean, they're not parachuting in and they're not making lines and running backfires or anything, but they are trying to help out in the fight against the wildfires in California. If we got time, I got to get to that. And also this Mitt Romney. So we're going to get to the Mitt Romney secret Twitter account story in just a second. Do want to read through a couple texts here. Donald said, so 1,000 troops are being moved out of Syria. I remember Trump saying there was less than 50 there to be evacuated last week, so he lied again in a situation that could not be hidden from the world press. Donald, I'll tell you this, that I was generally confused with the numbers when that story first broke about moving this troops out. It was 50, and then I was on the air saying 1,000 or 1,200 because I was reading elsewhere that it was 1,000 or 1,200. Then it was... I don't know what, you know, there's probably some nuanced semantic reason that it's 50 or it's 1,000. It could be in this region. I don't know. I don't know enough, but I did notice that too. The numbers very different, but the convoys and the airlifts moving those troops back, it looks like from the reports this morning, to Western Iraq. How long they stay there before they come home, I don't know that. That news is not out yet. Also, our buddy Buck says we still have troops all over the world in Italy, Germany, Poland, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Japan, and Korea. Also, I think that's, we got quite a few more places as well. But yeah, pretty good presence in those places. The troops in Saudi, it's a whole other discussion maybe for another day. Now, yeah, I'm pretty predictable in my reaction to dealings with our unfortunate ally, the Saudis. All right, this story from The Slate, okay? Now, Slate, left lean to this for sure, but this is interesting because it's a senator, would-be president, with a secret Twitter account. Maybe there's more of them that do. But, okay, here's the story's been coming out in fits and spurts from Saturday, I think the first mention, then yesterday and this morning. A story from Ashley Feinberg from Slate.com. This was yesterday. This posted yesterday. So she says earlier today, so that means Sunday, The Atlantic's McKay Coppins published a lengthy profile on Mitt Romney, apparently part of Romney's effort to set himself up as the noble Republican foil to an out-of-control president. These sorts of pieces, which are more about narrative setting than anything else, typically don't contain a lot of new information, but this one had one notable exception. About midway through, the usually guarded senator revealed that, just like fellow lone voice of reason haver James Comey, he was the owner of a secret Twitter account. Now, Mitt Romney, who is the definition of a starched shirt. So does he, as we get into this, did Mitt Romney decide he was going to have a secret Twitter account, or did some staffer do this for him? She goes back into, it said at one point, as Coppins asked him, being Romney, about the hashtag impeachment Romney hashtag Trump tweeted into earlier this month, Romney said this, Quote, that's kind of what he does, Romney said with a shrug, and then got up to retrieve an iPad from his desk. He explains that he uses a secret Twitter account. What do they call me? A lurker? Said Romney, to keep tabs on the political conversation. Quote, I won't give you the name of it, he said, but I'm following 668 people, swiping at his tablet. Romney recited some of the accounts he follows, including journalists, late-night comedians. He then says, Romney says, what is his name? The big redhead from Boston? Romney is the ultimate starch shirt. Conan O'Brien. And athletes, Trump was not among them. He says, he tweets so much, Romney said, comparing the president to one of his nieces who overshares on Instagram. Quote, I love her, but it's like, it's too much. So, I mean, what Romney did there, by the way, is gave the number of people he was following, who he was following. Because somebody who is a decent journalist can dig through and try to figure this out. So it goes on in the story. He said, in other words, a wealth of information that would have been highly useful to anyone hoping to track down the senator's supposedly secret Twitter hideout, or more specifically to me. The chances seemed high that Romney, a known family man, would want to keep close tabs on his offspring, and as luck would have it, Romney has plenty of offspring. Get it? The people he's following? So you go look for the person that's following all the Romney children. Not all of his five sons have public Twitter accounts, and some of them, like Tag, have too many followers to possibly dig through. Romney's oldest grandchild, Allie Romney Critchlow, however, has just 481 followers, making digging through them an annoyingly but not impossible feat. So the author says, as I scrolled, while focusing on the ones that appeared to make an effort to conceal their real identities, one in particular caught my eye. Twitter user Quaz9876. Okay, so that's the, you know how on Twitter you have like the actual at, and then people will give themselves a new name. We don't do that with the radio station, but if a lot of individuals say change their Twitter name by season or whatever's going on in the news, you know, those kind of things. So the actual, the Twitter user is at QAWS9876, but known as Pierre Delecto. I'm giving you a second to pick yourself up off the floor. According to the Slate story, Mitt Romney, Senator Mitt Romney's secret Twitter account, the name is Pierre Delecto. The account joined the site in July of 2011, just 1 month after Romney announced his run for president. The majority of people it follows are either political reporters, politicians, political operatives, or pundits, though it also follows noted big redhead from Boston. She answers that question here, Conan O'Brien. Pierre Delecto appears to be a fan of many late night hosts like Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon, as well as current and former NFL players Tom Brady and Brett Favre. Pierre Delecto currently follows 702 accounts, which is a few more than the 668 Romney admitted to. But it's certainly possible to follow 30 additional accounts over the course of a few weeks, especially for a user that appears to have recently upped his Twitter activity. The Pierre Delecto account's very first follow was eldest Romney son Tag, joined shortly thereafter by Glenn Johnson, a current politics editor for Boston.com, who was firmly on the Romney beat around the time the account was originally created. Next was Mark DeMoss, who is a Salt Lake Tribune, who the Salt Lake Tribune described in 2012 as an unpaid advisor to Mitt Romney's presidential campaign, and Eric Fernstrom, who still has former at Mitt Romney advisor in his Twitter bio. Okay, so yes, I think this reporter from Slate, I think she got it. Says, in general, the account follows everyone you might expect someone like Mitt Romney to follow. There's the late Charles Krauthammer, the late John McCain. There's Larry Kudlow, Rupert Murdoch, Bill Kristol, Mark Schapp, and Peggy Noonan. It also follows all the people you would expect somebody who is exactly Mitt Romney to follow. There's a lot of available Romney children, a number of former Romney staffers and advisors, and quite a few reporters who've directly covered Romney in his various campaigns. And it lists those reporters there. Then there are accounts it's hard to imagine anyone but Mitt Romney following. There's a seemingly random person who managed to snag at Senator Romney, the Twitter handle, so he follows that. Also, the pro-Romney parody account, Alt Press Romney, President Romney, and various fan-run accounts out there that are fans of Mitt Romney. Pierre Delecto follows them all. Pierre Delecto was the 23rd person to follow the account at MittNH for New Hampshire, almost directly after it was followed by the official Team Romney account, right before a number of reporters jumped on board, which would seem to indicate at least some heads up. There's also John Moe, a photographer from Utah, who has taken family photos of the Romney clan. So there's it goes in the story. I'm gonna link this up on the Twitter feed, which is at FM Talk 106.5 and not Pierre Delecto, although I may change the name at some point today. Pierre Delecto. So Romney, the starchiest of the starch shirt, the extra heavy starch shirt that Romney is masquerading on Twitter as Pierre Delecto. I mean, what? This is Rich. Link the story up now on Twitter. Y'all check it out. So Mitt Romney, we'll go back and see how many times is Pierre Delecto throwing punches at real Donald Trump on Twitter. Gotta check that out. We'll be right back. Shot this one. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you along watching the news update here out of Fort Stewart in Georgia, where three U.S. soldiers were killed in an accident. We'll get news update coming up in just about 10 minutes on that. Also, Dr. Bill Williams says this afternoon, evening, that's when that line of storms should push through our area. Looks like pretty much all of us going to get the rain. It's not going to be spotty. It's a line. It's a front. So we should all get it. Now, the question is, severe weather associated with it. He thinks straight line winds and some thunderstorms. Does not see tornadoes. Activity in it for us the way it hit in Dallas yesterday. We see this for the fifth consecutive month, President Trump's approval rating. We talked about it in headlines earlier with Kelly. In the new Morning Consult poll shows 59% of Alabamians approving of the job the president's doing compared to 37% who don't, for a net approval rate of 22, puts President Trump's net approval in Alabama at the highest in the country. Followed by Mississippi, 21, Idaho, 20, and West Virginia at 20. President's approval, there's more of this, I think Lita Gore's story from AL.com says, the president's approval numbers in Alabama have dropped since his election, however, decreasing by 14 percentage points since the poll taken just after his election. Trump continues to score well among fellow Republicans, with 86% of GOP primary voters say they approve of the job he's doing. 96% of GOP primary voters who said they consider themselves very conservative approve of President Trump. Morning Consult poll surveys more than 5,000 registered voters across the U.S. Margin of error in Alabama, 2 percentage points. Latest numbers covered the month of September. All right, so the president's still doing well here in Alabama. Somebody had asked about the dog story. The dog story is the darndest thing I've ever seen. We've had a lot of stories about accidents on ATVs over the years, and some of them have been fatal. Out there, and I lament the riding ATVs on roadways or right next to major roadways and all that. I mean, a guy rides ATVs, riding one this weekend, but getting them on the roads and stuff, really a bad choice. This is a story that, and all the details we have, just about one paragraph from our news partners at WKRG, but this is the damnedest thing. Okay, so KRG reported that on Thursday, a man was injured in a four-wheeler accident off Highway 59 in Loxley. Man was airlifted to the hospital after he was run over by his own four-wheeler near the Bunny Bread outlet. Okay, I don't know why he was there on the four-wheeler, but... So you say, how did he get run over by his own four-wheeler? According to police, they say the man had his dog tied to the four-wheeler, and the dog tried to run off, which pushed the throttle, causing the four-wheeler to hit the man. So I'm picturing it, because there's no pictures, but I'm picturing, like, he's got a lead or something like that, a leash, and he has a dog tied off to the... It's got to be the right handlebar, because I'm looking... It says it's not a UTV, it's an ATV. It looks like a Honda, but that may be a stock picture. Look like a maybe a Rubicon or a Recon, has the leash tied off to the, would have to be the right handle. Think about that. And then if the leash got around the throttle, like, and then the dog pulled forward, of course it would thumb down the throttle, and maybe the man was standing in front of the four-wheeler and just ran. There's no more detail in this other than just be aware before you tie your dog off to your four-wheeler and go stand in front of it. Chance you could get run over. Can we post? I'm going to post that story up in at Pierre. Oh, by the way, Pierre Delecto, which turns out is the Mitt Romney secret Twitter account that's now not secret, is now gone private. So Pierre Delecto, if you wanted the joy of twittering back and forth with Pierre Delecto, no such luck. It's gone private. So sorry about that. All right. On the way on Midday Mobile today, take an in-depth dive with Dale Leash from Landyap about what was accomplished Thursday and Friday between the mayor and the Mobile City Council. Are there any other shoes to drop on this thing? Are they done? Can they get back to work on this going forward for like the business of the city? We'll talk about that. Also talk about some state news. Maybe we'll find out that Governor Kay Ivey has a secret Twitter account, right? Might be a thing out there. Plus, if you heard me mention Luther Strange, it came up in an NPR story about Purdue Pharma. You can check that out on the Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5. All right, see you all at noon.